Love that slide, Sandy. Thank you. That was beautiful. Did you see that transition there? That was so beautiful. Thank you. We often don't recognize how hard Sandy works at creating the slideshow every single Sunday. So thank you. This popped up on my Facebook page. Due to climate change and to save on energy costs, the light at the end of the tunnel will be turned off. Hashtag God. That was pretty good, Joe. Come on. In the last few weeks, we've been reflecting on some of the big questions that Jesus asked. What do you want? Do you want to be well? Why are you afraid? And this week, we're exploring Jesus' question, do you love me? It's a question directed to Peter, but asked of all of us who would decide to follow the ways of Jesus. And it's a question that Jesus asks of Peter after he has already died. After the terrifying death of Jesus by Roman crucifixion, all the disciples have scattered. They've given up on Jesus' vision of a new kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. They are in deep mourning. They are devastated by the loss of their beloved teacher and mentor and guide and friend. So in their grief and confusion and devastation, they've returned to what they know. And so they've returned to their old lives. And so Peter and Andrew have returned to fishing. They've gone back to the fishing business. And then while Peter is out doing his fishing out on the sea, like he had heard before, he hears a voice call from the shore, and he recognizes the voice, and he jumps in the water, and he swims to shore. And Jesus is there as before, in spirit form. And he cooks breakfast, reminiscent of loaves and fishes. There's fish frying on the grill on the beach. And around the campfire, as they're talking and reminiscing about what has been, what has happened, Jesus looks up and turns to Peter and says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? It's the perfect question to ask of Peter because Peter, ever since, has felt terrible personal devastation because of his feelings of shame and remorse. Because before Jesus' death, Peter had bragged that he would follow Jesus to the ends of the earth. Even if he was to die, he would follow Jesus. And Jesus had reminded him that he is human and says, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny that you ever knew me. Peter says, poppycock. But then it turns out that Peter wasn't terribly brave at all, but actually denies to a servant girl in the courtyard around another fire, even knowing the person that Pilate is now interrogating in the courtroom. Peter had three chances to admit to knowing Jesus around that fire in the courtyard, and he missed all of them and cries bitterly over his cowardice and disappointment in himself and his betrayal of his friend. So after Jesus' execution, he is carrying the weight of that remorse, of that guilt, of that shame, of not defending his teacher and mentor and friend. So now Jesus appears again on the shore to call Peter once again as he called him before, giving Peter another opportunity to overturn his three denials, and he asks him three times the question, do you love me? And what's also significant about this story is that Jesus doesn't call Peter the name Peter, which he had given him after years of him following Jesus, which meant the rock upon which Jesus would build his church. He doesn't call him the name he gave him. Instead, Jesus calls him his original given name that his parents gave him, Simon, the name the fishermen went by before Jesus first met him. A reminder to Peter that he hasn't been a rock, that he's been like all of us would be, a shaking, frightened mess. Maybe Jesus calls him Simon to remind him of his original call to drop everything and follow Jesus to fish for people. And maybe he calls him Simon to indicate that Jesus, in his intuitive wisdom, knows that Peter was not the brave man Peter thought he was. And so he offers Peter a chance to redeem himself, to become the rock. Also significant to the story is the way that in the Greek, the words of love are played with, because there are four words for love in Greek. And he plays with two of them here, saying, "Do you love me?" And at first he says agape, which is big love, holy love, godly love, mature love, unconditional love. And Peter says, "Yes, you love me." But then he keeps asking, and then Jesus changes the word to philia, friendship love, human love. And that, he knows, Peter can do. It is a reminder that even though we humans fail in loving, and that we fail in loving agape love sometimes, and we don't love unconditionally, we love conditionally, even when we fail and we fall short of loving others in the deep way that God loves us, Jesus reminds Peter, it's okay. You are forgiven. And if you truly love me, Peter, then I need you to show that love by loving others. The best way you can love me, is Jesus saying, is to go and love others as I have loved you. Every time Peter answers that yes, he loves Jesus, Jesus answers, then feed my sheep, or tend my sheep, or feed my lambs. Jesus is reminding Peter that if we love the ways of Jesus, then we are to follow in the ways of Jesus and demonstrate our love by loving others. Jesus doesn't need Peter to love him. Jesus is full of love. He doesn't need someone else to love him. He is love. Jesus needs Peter to love others. Jesus doesn't need us to love him. Jesus makes it clear that he needs us to radiate love for his sheep into this world as he exuded love to all of us. This kind of love that Jesus is talking about is not an ordinary love. It's an extraordinary love. It's a love that the world isn't used to. We are to follow Jesus in the ways of love, which is a very big, expansive love. A love that has, Jesus says, is not limited to those who return their love for us. But a love that's expansive and embracive and includes even our enemies and those who persecute us, those who wish us harm, to actually love those who hate us. This is a radical, profound teaching of Jesus that is intended to stop and overturn the cycle of human revenge, of an eye for an eye model that we still use. Our natural inclination is to hate those who hate us, to punish those for not loving us. But Jesus radically shifts that thinking and says that if we truly follow on the path he walks, we need to love our enemies and to forgive those who have hurt us. This is a radical, holy love, a hard and difficult love that each of us are called to. It takes a lot of work to forgive those who have hurt us. But that is the path we are each called to walk. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Then tend my lambs. Jesus reminds us that to love those who have wronged us, which is a very big ask, but one that Jesus demonstrates himself in his obvious forgiveness of Peter and calling him once again. He trusts him enough to call him again to do the work he has left undone. And to forgive all of the other disciples who let him down. To forgive as Jesus forgave all of his enemies, those who wished him harm, which were the religious authorities and the Roman government. To follow in the ways of Jesus is to be willing and to learn how to forgive and love even those who hate us. This is what it means to follow Jesus. It's hard work. It's a really big ask. But it is really why we have come on this planet, to learn how to love as God loves. We come to a faith community, to a church, with great expectations that the people in the church will love us like that. And then we get disappointed when the church is full of other human beings that love like we love. Not as well as we had hoped, like Peter hoped. It's hard to love people back who have disappointed us when we feel that they have failed us. But it's what Jesus asks of Peter, to love even when he's failed before at love. Jesus points out, it's easy to love those who love us. Do you want a medal for doing that? What is a monumental spiritual accomplishment is to love those we don't like, to reach out to those who have harmed us, to offer kindness and gentleness and care and forgiveness to those who have hurt us. To become once again a part of a community that has hurt us and forgive us. That is big love. That is Jesus' love. And that is how big we are all asked to love as followers of the way. That's the kind of love that will make the change we want to see in the world. If we in the church can learn how to love like that, what a light we will be in this world. And I know that there are many of you who have learned to do that. And it's taken a lot of practice and a lot of spiritual work. I know people in this church who continue to show kindness and care to ex-spouses who have not been fair or kind to them throughout their years of marriage. That's big love. I know people in this community who continue to love their children when their children have shown no interest in having a relationship with them. That's big love. I know people among you who are reaching out and tending to those who are suffering from addiction or mental health or homelessness, even when they aren't able to offer a whole lot in return. That's big love. I know people in this church who have given and given and given and given of their time and their talents and their energy, who have not felt appreciated, but they keep giving anyway That's big love. I know people in this church who have struggled, but chosen to share their quiet, contemplative healing space and welcome, have chosen to welcome the noisy little lambs that are going to be coming among us in preschool. Sharing a quiet, contemplative space, that's big love. I know people in this church who have struggled, but have reached out to friends or relatives who have wounded them and whom you have forgiven and sought to be in relationship, even when it didn't come back in return. I have met people in this place who show compassion and kindness and forgiven and understanding to those who have killed your loved ones and taken away what you loved most, but you pray for them and wish them well. This is Jesus' kind of love. These are all examples of big love, and we are called as followers of the way, not just to love those we like, or to love when it's convenient, or to love with those who agree with us, or to love those who drive us crazy, or those who don't agree with us or have spoken badly of us. We're asked to love anyway. We're not to give up on one another. But to love a big love is to lay down our wants and our desires and our ego needs, to lay down our own way, to lay down our own expectations of how we think things should be, to lay down our resentments and our angers and our hurts, and to care for one another, especially those who have hurt us. That is what it means to love the big love that Jesus called his disciples to, and that Jesus asks of us. Do you love me? Can you and I love with that kind of expansive capacity? Can we accept one another exactly as we all are, warts and all, as Jesus accepted Peter? Can we accept one another with that kind of radical love and acceptance, growing our capacity for love? That is the highest calling that Jesus calls us to. And that's why we're here. That's why we've come to Earth School, to grow and expand our capacity to love. And we won't always get it right. And like Peter, sometimes we'll mess up very badly, like we do. But Jesus didn't give up on Peter, and Jesus doesn't give up on any of us, and we shouldn't give up on each other. Peter wasn't the rock. The church wasn't built on a rock. It was built on a shaky human. So don't expect the church to be anything but shaky human. It's constructed on humans like Peter, who is trying to love better, who's trying to love as Jesus loved. And we will fail. But that doesn't mean we aren't called again to get back up and try to do better. Do you love me? If our answer is, yes, Lord, you know that we love you, then we need to get on with the business of the church, the business of loving and caring for one another, forgiving one another our humanity, like Jesus forgave Peter. Let us love like that. May it be so. Amen. Wait, I have a slideshow, Jenny.